All right.
Bani Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus from California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, where I was also a retired professor from Cal State Long Beach and Compton Community College. So I just want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner, where we're going to have a roundtable discussion where we dissect the news. We know that the oppressor cannot be our teacher. And as a European said, the Native American said when he met him, he speaks with a forked tongue. And so therefore, people be surprised when they catch him in lies. But it's a very nature. And that's why we try to speak truth to the people and speak truth to power, to wake people up, check up from the neck up, to be your alarm clock and ring consciousness in your head and in your mind. Not so you can go out there and be a martyr. We don't believe in Custer's last stand, but be strategic. Take on the responsibility of educating your children and teaching them discipline and respect the fact that they may not be in a war, but they're definitely at war. And that you have to raise your children, both female and male, with that consciousness. Breonna Taylor is an example of that. She was a woman. Eula Love was an example of that. Latasha Harlan was these were women that were brutally murdered. And we know that the key person that they target is the black male. You know, and so we can go down a whole list of all of them that have been brutally murdered, but those are the ones we know about. But the point is our strive is for global justice, not just justice here. Wherever black people are, as Malcolm said, it's a battle line. And we have to struggle and educate our people. The importance of unity, Pan-Africanism, and the importance of loving each other and respecting each other. When one hurt, all hurt. And attack on one black person is an attack on all of them. That's the way we have to defend ourselves, attitude-wise. But again, we welcome you here. We're going to have some roundtable discussion. And the first thing we're going to discuss is why you think the Florida and Texas governors are saying everybody can buy a gun without background check. What do you think that's about? Aziza, you there? Sharif,
yes.
Aziza? Why do you think white folks want guns to be legal? They don't care if they're legal. They say, you can get a gun, you can just get a gun.
It's interesting. I don't know why they would want to permit that and not have any checks and balances and, guidance or education. I'm not familiar with it. I don't own a gun or anything in this state or in any other state, but yeah, I think that's just interesting, and I think it'll affect black people and crime rates.
But when they got police, they got sheriffs, they got United States Marshals, they got FBI, they got DEA, they got all kind of police agencies. They got the Navy, the Air Force, and the military, and they're talking about they want their guns, assault weapons, and things of this nature. They got 911, they got it where you can make a gun through 3D. They make bombs. Why do they do that? I mean, if they got all that working for them,
Oh, I'm sorry. I was gonna say, and I'm gonna let you continue, maybe to promote self-destruction amongst some groups.
Okay. Machinda, what's your position on that?
I had to restart. So give me
The
the question.
question was, why do American Caucasians and Europeans globally have guns? Why do they need guns, assault weapons, and things of this nature? What is driving them? They got the Navy, they got the Air Force, they got the Army, they got the Marines, they got the Coast Guard, they got marshals, sheriffs, police, they got all the technology to monitor crime and 911 and 411 and all of those things, but yet they say they need their guns. Why you think they are so have this love for guns and won't pass just simple things like, if you're crazy, you can't get a gun. If you
Well,
go ahead.
I agree with Sister Aziza. It's definitely an offensive attack, on civilization, as we know it, and so of course the weapons are used to, keep people in check, to destroy whoever's not going along with their agenda. And if you go back, to the cowboy days and back in the day prior to the African introducing them to iron and different things like that, those kind of resources in order for them to even make weapons, the material to make weapons. But, Malcolm X called them devils, and Elijah Muhammad called them devils, of course, and a lot of people say it's a lot of evilness going on in these people, So, I'll never forget, I was in New Orleans with a white dude. Used to, I worked at a place. He was one of the people in charge of the company I was working for, and but he and I hit it off pretty good. We became, I go see him. He come see me every now and then, and pretty cool guy, and he's kind of liberal, as they say, and he understand what Whitey is doing, how, and I use that word. Because I've heard him say it, in terms of he no, you're not lying. You're not lying. He said there's a full court press on people. And so we went out to eat, got some sandwiches and whatever. We came out, he noticed that one of his buddies was coming out of one of these nice homes that was parked right next to where, or was sitting where we were parked. And he said, "Hey, man." So anyway, long story short, we went inside the house, and the guy was in there cooking gumbo. I think it was a playoff football game going on. So they was in there talking in the kitchen, and it was another guy over there sitting down having a cocktail, had a suit on, or it looked like he loosened his tie up. And so I got to talking with him, and he said, "Y'all work together?" I said, "Well, yeah, we work in education together." The guy was picking my brain. White guy was sitting on the couch. And I said, "What you do?" He said, "I'm a senior vice president for Freeport MacMoRan." Now, Freeport MacMoran is the company that deals with maritime, offshore stuff. And so we got to talking about Freeport MacMoran. And he said, I said, he said, "I'm an attorney." He was an attorney for Freeport MacMoRan, one of the biggest in the world at what they do. And they got an office, a big time office in New Orleans. He said that, he said, "I enjoy what I do." He said, "But what part of that," he said, "I'm not proud of is when we go over and we take over governments," basically. He had a few cocktails, so he wasn't feeling no pain. And basically he was admitting to me how those major offshore companies, they go off into international waters, and they go to like over there in Indonesia, for instance. He was telling me about Indonesia, where, pristine water, they have natives over there. So basically, in a nutshell, Freeport MacMoRan is part of the process of taking over the land and taking over the resources in that area. This guy was telling me point blank, straight up, he's not really proud of that. He said they set up, pretty much create civil war between the natives. The natives start fussing and fighting because you got your upper brass that's part of those islands and things like that who go along with it. Kind of like, the brothers that were selling slaves, You always got somebody that's going to participate and try to hustle people. And so he was talking about in Indonesia where the powers that be were pretty much allowing this Freeport-McMoRan to come over here and do oil exploration and drilling and all that kind of stuff, robbing them of the resources and actually killing the ecosystem over there. And so creating problems in these people's habitats and where they live, So they have globally been doing all kind of these things forever. They've been since their existence. They've been pillaging and stealing and robbing pirates. So I say that to say that you ask about these weapons. Hell, it ain't that they want to kill up us. They got to protect themselves because they doing dirt. They going in there. So they started out with a few weapons, and then of course, hey, now we got an army. Now we got a navy. Now we got a Marine Corps. And so of course you need these things, nuclear weapons, in order to control the world. So that's what it's about. It's greed. It's evilness, and it's like white supremacy, and that's what they're doing. And they know that right now it's the last call for alcohol, as I said before. I use that analogy where they know their time is up. They know that the Roman Empire is. We know Rome went down. Well, they know that the white supremacy hold in the world globally is diminishing. It's going the way of the dinosaur by natural attrition. Whether we fight them or not, it ain't even nothing to do with that. They're disappearing off the face of the earth, and they know that. That's what they know. They're very conscious of their existence on this planet. So they're trying to keep their culture. You talk about DeSantis, you talk about Governor Abbott in Texas. In Louisiana, they got a super majority just like Kentucky. In Nashville, Tennessee, the super majority. They redistrict things. It's a full court press, not just on people of color, but anybody that's in their way. And that's it. So that's why they hanging on to these, and they're pumping fear. And so the regular, I call them the regular white folks, the regular citizens that I work with, they drinking the Kool-Aid, as Brother Joe always talk about. I talk to them every day. I talk to them at work. I don't tell them, hey man, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, but it's very synonymous with that. It's like, hey man, you guys are in the same boat as we, and you vote for these guys. You sitting up here complaining about your retirement and your Social Security. I said, and you voting for this guy. Are you doing this? So they will take a loss and a hit before they subscribe to your thinking and what you want to do, because they just can't see it change. So they need those weapons, because if they didn't have those weapons, man, they will be wiped out quicker than they're going to be wiped out. So that's all I'm talking about.
All right. For those that tuning in late, we're having a discussion about why European say they need guns. It's their constitutional right to have guns, assault weapons, and other powerful weapons. And they got the military, all branches, Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, Coast Guard. All of that. They got helicopters, they got 911, they got thousands of police, sheriffs, marshals, FBI, CIA, all of those things to protect them. But they're saying they need guns. Rashiki, you want to chime in, and then we'll go to Linda and Brother
Well,
Henry and Sister Make It Out.
I'm a pass it up. I think Brother Mashinda hit it right on the nose, but I want to go to Miss Sister Making It Happen, because she has an announcement for us. And Sister Making That Happen, can you briefly tell us about what you're going to be doing very soon?
Greetings, family. Hotep, everyone. So the announcement is that in celebration of Financial Literacy Month, I will be hosting Financial IQ Zoom on Thursdays afternoons, starting between 6:30 and chopping it up with the community, those that engage, and talking about these concepts. Again, my mission is to make sure that I'm educating families in my circles so that as much as possible, I can make sure people are making good choices when they have money. Of course, if you don't have money, your job is to get money. You need to earn money because that is a tool that you need in the world we live in. And so, but once you have it and you're able to, save it, teaching proper, techniques for saving and identifying those things that help us to not become wealthy. So I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be exciting. We had our test run this past Thursday, and looking forward to this upcoming session this Thursday.
All right, so welcome aboard, Sister Making It Happen. So she's going to be the third show that we have under the umbrella of the Community Education Network. So welcome aboard. I'm excited for you, and let's do our thing. We definitely need some financial tips and could use them. And I know there's other people that's been around us, and they're gonna probably make a good contribution whenever they show up. All right, I just wanted to
Yes,
say
it's
that.
about building and sharing. There's no, nobody's an expert. We all have experiences and we learn sometimes through trial and error. We want to make sure that the trials are not always errors. So we want to try to give folks some good guidance so that, again, the trials don't always end up being errors.
May I ask a question, please? What time on Thursday? Because she said, I think she said 6 p.m., which is Pacific Standard Time, I believe, correct?
Yes, this Thursday actually is going to be a little earlier. It is going to be at 4 o'clock this Thursday.
Thank you.
It is Pacific Standard Time.
Okay, thank you. That was my question. Only
Yes, sir.
because finance is so important, and I know people like me on the East Coast, I have a million questions because I need help with my finances all the time. So I want to be alert and listen and hear and learn about this.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Sister, make it happen. Do you have a perspective on why you think guns are important to European Americans?
Wow, that's such a hot topic today, and I definitely have an opinion. But in terms of why it's important to them, well, they're time is running out. And so as things began to be I don't know, feeling threatened, then we definitely are going to see more of a behavior to protect whatever is needing to be protected, because when you're feeling threatened and that you're about to lose something or something is slipping out of your hand, you might fight harder to try to hold on to some things. So that would be my contribution in regards to that. But I think that we all should be at the point we need to protect ourselves. That's just a God-given right to be able to protect yourself.
Protect yourself from what?
From life, as life comes, there are good things and bad things about this life. So I'm just thinking, as individuals, as a personally, as a family, you need to be able to protect your family, protect your safety of your family. The Europeans, why they need guns and why they have guns is because, again, they are, in my opinion, trying to protect what they have stolen from everyone else or usurped from other everyone else. And now that people want their stuff back, there is definitely a fight.
Okay. All right. So, Joe, Brother Hembrick, co-host of the community of Conscious Corner. Joe, you have a comment on why the European more guns?
Well, two-pronged perspective on it. They feel their numbers dwindling, number one. But it's their mentality since their existence, weaponry. They came out of that ice box. That's what they were good at, weaponry for hunting and whatnot. And that just escalated into, the colonialism, imperialistic mentality of taking weaponry and religion and taking people's land and resources. It's the spirit of a Urugu to keep disharmony and stuff throughout the universe. But basically, you know, stealing, you know, the resources from other lands by way of religion and weaponry. They go hand in hand. Initially they did, sending in the missionaries and then the military thereafter. I don't think we have a chance against them in that regard. We need to be about our business, you know, getting into this African spirituality and whatnot that we don't know about. And speaking of finances, yesterday, I wonder how many of us throughout America and the world actually spent these, you know, all these dollars on this holiday yesterday, when that money can be taken to create something so, you know, we can build some things and don't have to worry as much about the future of our those that's coming behind us. You know, we constantly commit cultural genocide against ourselves by doing that, but we've been so assimilated, we don't know nothing but that for the most part. Well, you know, another perspective on the weaponry, you know, he can't fight, so he need a gun. He can't face man face to face, so he shoots from afar. And that's just his mentality, and that's why he has it. Plus, it's a lucrative industry also, and they're into hunting, kill, kill, kill. You know, they don't want to face, you know, none of those wild animals with no bow and arrow or spear. They want to shoot from a long way away. And it's basically their fear factor. That's why they have them for the most part. Fear of one thing or another. If he can't stand on his own and throw down wherever he is in the world, well, that's what he needs. I heard speak earlier about these countries that they go into, you know, what happened with a lot of nations that finally got their independence. Once they got their independence, you know, they had to rely on, you know, other governments for funds to build themselves, and it kind of reverted into like a sharecropping situation. You borrow the money from these governments, and then you can't afford to pay them back, which allows them to come in and do what they do as far as taking the resources of your land. And that's just their, you know, a mode of operation that they do. And that's what's happening at the present time and has been happening since, you know, countries got their independence in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. That was the reason for why France came into Mexico. We need to celebrate, what's that, Cinco de Mayo. But the French lend Mexican government money that they couldn't pay back, and they came in and took over. So there's nothing new. There's a play, I forget the lady's name, I think her name is Cooper, and somebody out there may know this play. It's called Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. And however many weapons that they make, they still can't fool with, you know, what's up there in the sky. They can make however many atomic bombs they want, they can't reach the sun, which is the life force of this planet. So we need to be a little more about that, learn about that, see how we can use that to our advantage. And because the other way around, I think it'd just be annihilation, because, you know, they ain't going to have the manhood to face us. They're going to drop something on us. It's like they did those the Japanese back in 45, just to see what it would do, you know. So You know, like I say, we're behind enemy lines. We need to think as such, but we suffer from the illusion of inclusion, thinking we're included, and he constantly shows you every day that you're not. So that's all I have to say on the subject. Thank you, sir.
Yes, good. Linda, in Florida, DeSantis just said, DeSantis just proposing that anybody can get a gun without a background check. So what's your position on why they need guns?
Well, I came on late, so I probably missed some of it. And the only thing I can really think of was Francis Cress Welsing said years ago, and you probably already repeated, said that, are you we're on the same page about Francis Cress Welsing, what she said about why white people need guns. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, because his gun is small.
Yeah, that's true.
He needs a big gun.
Well, no, she was comparing it to the black race and black men and how our race is going to keep going and they're being annihilated. And so they were trying to, you know, like you said, get a thought was a bigger gun. It was a more of a mental thing.
Okay.
And to your question is, DeSantis, we everybody know he's a devil. So, no, I'm not in agreement with what he's saying. That's why they call him DeSatan.
Saint, sanctimonial. Yeah. All right.
Rasha I just P. got that from my pastor. I didn't make that up.
Rasha P.
Yes. I agree with mostly what everybody is saying. Fear of genetic annihilation due to the lack of melanin and pigmentation that they possess. You could get all colors from black, but you can't get but one color from white. So, you know, fear of the world becoming a black planet. Then when you're very insecure, then you're more apt to attack the fear of a lot of things. So, yeah, fear of genetic annihilation and greed and power. The only way to have that is through domination and elimination. So that's about it, Professor Rye.
All right. Let me just chime in a little bit. You know, sometimes I think H-Rap said at one time, arm yourself or you'll harm yourself. Malcolm said we need to stop singing and start swinging. And at the same time, a lot of people focus on white folks and their imperialism. But you have to look at it also in a different way. Timothy McVeigh blew up a government building. It wasn't about black people. The assassination of the Kennedys, the assassination of Martin Luther King, assassination of Lincoln. It was over some black people, but it wasn't about black people. It was over white folks wanting to keep slavery, keep segregation. So not only are they afraid of you genetically, they don't want to lose their way of life of domination, deprivation and devastation. And you got to understand the reason he wants everybody armed, all of them to have a gun, is to fight the government. Is to fight their own government. Look at the major mass killings. They're killing other white people. A lot of them. Their whole thing is, I don't want to stop living the life we live. Segregation is part of it. An aspect of being in power is the most important thing. So white nationalism is very crucial to them. And they don't want the government to let others or to recognize others as a part of being American. They see every other person as a visitor or a guest, a slave, or for labor, sex, or entertainment. And they feel themselves threatened, not just genetically, which is correct, but also politically, economically, and educationally, institutions, because they dominate that. And that's what the lifestyle they love. You go out to places like Huntington Beach, and you go out to places like Irvine, you go out to places like Windsor Hills and all those type of things. They live a different life. You understand? And they pose it as a threat. Now, that's why they love Trump. Trump is trying to save their way of life. You understand? So they look at him as a savior. That's why they don't care what he do. You know, I mean, Jesus, the white Jesus is to save their soul and give them a spiritual sense of comfort for their devilishness, as Linda said, and as Joe said, and as Machinda has pointed out. You know, look at the evangelists, look at the Pope and all of them. You know, they all support whiteness and white ways of life. The threat to them is they don't want to lose their way of life. So if everybody armed, even in their constitution, and say if your government is not serving you and have a long train of abuses, you have a right to stand up to it. And then at the same time, you have to look at it deeper than just them. Yeah, they go out and they take over people's land. And they take over, destroy people and take over their property and take their resources. But that's to enrich their way of life. That's the whole purpose of it. You understand? To be able to develop weapons to protect their way of life. And everybody's on board as far as they're concerned. Kids, I mean, women, this is your way of life. You got to remember, women help load their guns to go out and hunt black people and loaded their guns to go out and kill the Native American. They act like she's innocent. So, you know, and I agree with what's been said. Don't take me wrong. Everybody has made some major points. But here you look at Texas, Washington, Florida. It's all about white nationalism. They're already a minority in the world. They don't feel a threat by people rising up. Hey, I don't care about that. Look at what the Palestinians is going through in Israel. Or not, well, and white people call it Israel, but it's Palestine. It's destroyed. Going to mosques and beat people. And then the news say, well, Israel is responding to the rockets they're sending over. No. They're not responding to that. They never say why the rockets were going over to Israel. They went into the mosque on a holy day and just start beating and arresting people. You see, and then America protects them because they're on the white nationalist side of America, and that is protected by what they call both parties, you know, by that. So I agree with the fact that they go out and they steal land, they steal people. I mean, we're the biggest case for human trafficking. That's all you can do is say, how did black people get to this country? How did Native Americans get on the reservation? How did Japanese still suffering from the nuclear bomb? And why would you want nuclear bomb? Not for us. We don't have them. You know, the white folks got them. Even in South Africa, where they have one, and that the white folks have control of it. That's what they're fighting about in Afghanistan. And satellites and all of that spying to stay in power. Because like Rosky and everybody was saying, Francis Wilson said they're afraid of genetic annihilation. So it's a natural fear. It's a natural social fear to say, I would not be able to ride my bike and horses freely without other races being around me, or I'm going to lose my status as the powerful white people. And they're a minority. They don't care about majority. That's why they got those powerful weapons. You understand? The powerful weapons, you know, they wipe out cities. They wipe it out. Look what Russia's doing to other white people. You understand? I mean, you know, I mean, just devastating, killing you. I don't know. Dropping bombs, scorching the earth. You know. And then France making Haiti pay reparations for winning their independence. And you know who helped France? America. They put up a blockade and the Haiti's government had to agree to pay them millions of dollars, still paying them billions of dollars for getting free from their independence from France. You understand? And nobody brings it up because France is another white nationalist country. You see? And so, you know, that's where I'm see that. Anybody respond to that? And we can go to the next subject. All right, Rashki, let's talk about Tennessee.
That's all right. I have these two clips.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, this is interesting, very interesting.
Can't hear.
Okay, let me stop it and allow the sound. Thanks, Professor Ra. Right.
Of the House condemned mother.
Is facing questioning from his Republican colleague and laying out his defense.
I was shocked to have the Speaker of the House condemn mothers and children and grandmothers and parents and concerned citizens, clergy, lie on them and say that they were violent insurrectionists. And I think that he owes the people of Tennessee an apology. Because at no point was there violence. At no point did we encourage violence. In fact, what we were doing was calling for the end of gun violence that is terrorizing our children day after day after day, and all we offer are moments of silence. It is in that spirit of speaking for my constituents, of being a representative of the people, that I approached this well on last Thursday, breaking a House rule, but exercising moral obedience to my constitutional responsibility to be a voice for my people, to be a voice for the Tennesseans who you choose not to listen to because of those NRA checks that are so hefty in your campaign funds. There comes a time where people get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
One of the questions that keeps coming back to my mind that I hope maybe you can answer is when you say no action, no peace, what do you mean? What does Representative Jones mean by no peace? Thank you.
Representative Jones.
Thank you. I would invite my colleague from Putnam County to join any protest where that is a very familiar chant that usually goes, no justice, no peace. And I believe the roots of it lie in something that Martin Luther King stated, that true peace is not merely the absence of tension, but it is the presence of justice. That's what I was saying, is that until we act, there will be no peace in our communities. In addition, I would like to read
some context about that chant that comes from Jeremiah 6:14. I'll read the New Living Translation. It says, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace where there is no peace. I'll go to the New International Version. They dress the wound of my people as though it was not serious. Peace, 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 they say, where there is no peace. That's what the chant means, is that we have no peace. And that until we act, there will be no peace for the thousands of children who came here demanding that we act, who are afraid that if they're in school, they will be gunned down because you have passed laws to make it easier to get a gun than it is to get health care. In this state, you passed laws that make it easier to get a gun than it is to vote in this state. And so that there will be no peace in Tennessee until we act on this proliferation of weapons of war in our community. That is the peace I was talking about. That is what I was saying. Representative Williams, thank you for your question.
After his question.
There's another clip. Do you want to hear that other clip? Right now.
Yeah. It's all on the same subject.
That's why you're standing there, because of that temper tantrum that day, for that yearning to have attention. That's what you wanted, but you're getting it now. So I just advise you, if you want to conduct business in this house, file a bill, be recognized, stand there and present it, and pass it. All you got to do is pass a bill.
Representative Pierce.
Now, you all heard that. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about even gun violence. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? The reason that I believe the sponsor of this legislation, of this resolution, spoke that way is because he's comfortable doing it, because there's a decorum that allows it. There's a decorum that allows you to belittle people. We didn't belittle nobody. What we said was that we cannot be beholden to gun lobbyists, to the NRA. We can't be beholden to organizations that don't want to see us make progress on gun violence. We can't be beholden to folks who don't want to see us help save our communities and protect them. But there's something else I think that the sponsor of this resolution has alluded to, and there were a few things here that you said that I want to address. He called a peaceful protest a temper tantrum. Is what's happening outside these doors by Tennesseans who want to see change a temper tantrum? Is Sarah, whose son Noah was at the Covenant School, he survived, he's 5 years old, and she showed up here demanding that we do something about gun violence, is that a temper tantrum? Is elevating our voices for justice or change a temper tantrum? But there's something in the decorum of this body that makes it okay to say that folks who are exercising their First Amendment rights to speak up for the hundreds of thousands of people collectively that we represent. There's something in the decorum of this body that says it's okay to call that a temper tantrum, to call people we disagree with on the issues, to say that all they want is attention. But I'll tell you what, I don't personally want attention. What I want is attention on the issue of gun violence. But instead, we're here with the resolution you put up talking about expelling me for advocating for ending gun violence in the state of Tennessee. I'd much rather be talking with you about legislation to protect Shelby County and to protect our communities than talking about why we don't deserve to have our representation lost because we came to
the camps
house saying we've got to do something. That's what I would like to be doing. And so you brought attention or tried to bring attention to me, but I want to turn the attention to the people. The people who will never be able to throw a temper tantrum for gun violence. You know, the Larry Thorns, the Catherine Kuntzes, the Mike Heels, the Cynthia Peaks, the Evelyn Decals, the Haley Scruggs, the William Kinneys, who will never have a chance to throw what you call a temper tantrum for justice, for gun reform, for the ending of gun violence. They'll never have a chance because we haven't taken our oath seriously, because we don't take people who we disagree with seriously. We tell them, you just are throwing a temper tantrum.
Ultimately, Tennessee.
All right. All right. Brother. Brother Mashinda, you know, you're going through it down in Louisiana. And you were saying some things before people chimed in. Go ahead and give me your analysis of Tennessee and what else is going on. You there, Mashinda? You're on mute. All right. What about you, Linda? Ziza?
Yes, sir. No, I don't have anything. So I think I can contribute, but thank you for considering me.
Brother Joe? You there, Joe? What about you, Rashiki?
Well, I'm taking a look at these brothers.
Mashinda, you coming on?
I had phased out a little bit, but I'm here. I saw the presentations.
Okay. And we want you to speak to what you think about what's going on in Tennessee and those issues you're facing with Louisiana.
Well, I mean, there's some similarities here. I mean, you know, that supermajority, you know, that's what I was talking about earlier. You know, when you have a legislative system that's set up and you have a supermajority, you know, you can try to get away with certain things, you know. So it's more of what I talked about earlier. Louisiana, they have a supermajority now. I think they needed 70 legislators, 70 in the, I know in the, well, the Senate and the House, they needed so many, and I think they got a supermajority by one vote. So, and that's their goal, to gerrymander, redistrict, to quiet, you know, to silence the people, to tell you to shut up and dribble, and all the things that's been going on. So, I mean, the brother, you know, he's pretty much talking about saying the same thing we just talked about a while ago, as far as, they just trying to voice their opinions about, you know, gun control. Nobody say you're going, you know, they, I'm telling you, they, I hear it all the time down here. They trying to take our weapons, you know, nobody's trying to take your weapons, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, these high powered guns that are used at war. And, you know, so it's like, hey, let's look at that, you know, let's take a look at that, you know. But again, they're reacting out of fear of, like, the party's over, and they're trying, like I say, like you talked about McVeigh earlier, same thing, you know. It's like the government, you said it yourself, you know, they get these weapons, you know, for these militias, you know, they have these they have the power, like DeSantis is trying to pretty much, you know, pass legislation or whatever to have his own militia. And, you know, people that's not compliant with what they're talking about will go against you, you know. So it's kind of a civil war in the making. It's a, you know, so these young brothers in their 20s that are very articulate and expressing themselves, they're talking about the same thing, you know, the basic right to be elected and to support your constituency and to address issues in your communities and stand up for the people
That's all they're doing is trying to exercise their rights. And the government is trying to say, hey, you know what? You don't have rights. And so there's loopholes and there's ways, you know, so of course the council and all that, they voted them, you know, dudes got their positions back, whatever. They didn't vote the white lady out, you know. They knew how many votes they had, you know, so they spared her, but she still said she was down with the count, you know. But so I don't have more to say. I spoke earlier. It's just more of the same, you know. You know, I think that, you know, hopefully they will continue to protest and struggle and try to, you know, do what they can to try to offset this thing. But it's a full court press, like I said. It's not a good time as it relates to, from what they're trying to do. So people got to be careful, you know, don't live in fear, but just be vigilant and be aware of what's going on. You know, it's real. It's real out there.
Yeah, and they decided to put the Brother Jones, the one that have the hair and Marcel, or what kind of hair, straight hair and the white suit, back on the council. The people that decide who's going to take his place voted him back in, and he took his seat. He got sworn in today and took his seat back. But like you said, it was a rise up of the people that took this position, and they expect the other brother to be reinstated back to his seat, and then in election time they'll be reelected or go to a higher office, or one of the two. But as you said, it's a pattern. It's not just there. It's in a number of cities, municipalities, and as you say, they're the supermajority because they engineered it. Even though they're a minority, they engineered it where they split up the black vote or the people of color vote through all kind of means, not just gerrymandering. As you said, threats of violence, intimidation, and all kind of other methods to suppress the vote, making it hard for people to vote. You know, all type of things. Picking up mailboxes so you can mail your vote in. You know what I mean? This is serious. So thanks for that, Machinda. What about you, Rashiki? You on mute?
Yeah, those brothers are sharp young gentlemen. And not only do they pose a threat intellectually, but again, with the melanin, you know, you see these young guys articulating the law and following the rules, and if they did violate any rule, it was like what's the guy that just passed away, Lewis, what's his name, John Lewis?
Yeah,
he said if you go, you know, what's that, the good, he said that if you're gonna break the law, and it's a good fight. What did he say? A good fight or
good trouble.
Yeah, to get in good trouble, and that's what those brothers are doing. They're putting it out there that they're speaking truth to power, and they are a threat. They're young and intelligent, and they're for the people. So I thought that was beautiful of them to stand up and do what was right. So I loved every minute of that.
Yeah, the issue affects everyone. Those were white kids that were shot and killed at that private school in Tennessee. That's the state where they assassinated Martin Luther King. That's the state where they had the Ku Klux Klan was born. Tennessee has a rich history of racism. And these brothers standing up, and the masses standing up with them, because it was a generic issue about gun violence. But we want to see how many whites will stand up if it comes to about empowering black people. And I understand they put them back on the city council, but they're not the power in the city council. They're the minority speaking out. And but as far as, you know, the most Tennesseans go along with their lifestyle, as I was saying. For years, you know what I mean? They went around. So I agree with you. They're very articulate young men. They speak truth and they know how. And, you know, we as Dr. Turing always say, we're the moral vanguard of we're one of the moral vanguards of the world. And that means that, you know, we always talk, you know, people borrow our songs for liberation all over the world. They use our quotes. They equate their suffering with our suffering as far as oppression and racism and discrimination. Just like when the European fought the Civil War, it wasn't a war against black people. It was a war over black people. And then they said that the North won, but history says, you know, they made so many deals. Then they let them start sharecropping, which kept slavery going. And then they let them go with, promised them reparations and then didn't give it to them. And white folks, you know, they're known for promising stuff to get quiet down and keep the status quo. They needed black people to work. So that's why they didn't exterminate them or put them in concentration camps. And, you know, they were the workers. And so now, you know, once they got the technology and they don't need them no more. So now you're the homeless, many of them. They're the ones that, you know, own drugs and got other kind of issues. But anyway, your point is well taken. There were so many other issues I wanted to bring up. Alvin Bragg's in New York, the brave brother who stood up. He's the first to indict Trump as a brother, you understand, in the midst of threats and in the midst of using his office to do what white folks are still studying. In their case, it started way before his. And the next indictment might be from Georgia, Fulton County, with the sister Fahoney. But we'll see. Okay, we're going to end this discussion tonight with the understanding that we will revisit these topics. There's so many things going on when we begin to look at the black movement that we got to discuss. What's going on in Jackson, Mississippi, where they're trying to the state trying to take over the city government. They did that in Compton. They took over the school district. All those things. And and they convinced some African Americans to go along with it by demonizing things that, of that nature. But we'll continue these discussions later. And so, Roger Key, you want to tell us what's going on Wednesday?
Yes, sir. Let's take a look. And this is how people can access the show. Go to the home page here. All right. So we got Brother Muko coming up. Brother Muko, we haven't seen Brother Muko in maybe over a year, but he's coming back. He got medical warfare / race correction. So that should be interesting because I want to know what he's talking about when he talk about race correction. That's an interesting term to me. Well, that's what we got going on Wednesday.
All right. All right, then. We did reconfirm that on May 1st, we'll have Damian Goodman from Crenshaw Subway and Community Development Agency of Merck Park. And then at the same time, I'll let you know if we have a special guest for next Monday.
Roger. So we're going to take our pause, each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.